Mother's Day. For every dad and child in the room, we have a mom personal assistant for you to take home today. Just kidding. Us moms know that our voices of wisdom and encouragement stay in your heads and play all day long. You don't need that. So you guys, I read an article recently in the Sun Times that said that being a mom is the equivalent of working 2.5 full-time jobs. All the women in the room were like, yeah, I already knew that. Right? So it's 98 hours of work week. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, life is busy. And when they asked what these moms couldn't live without, how to function in their day, they said naps, a constant supply of coffee, and an effective angry voice. If you can relate to that, if you have something that you just can't live without as a mom, I'd love for our online audience just to put that in the chat. Happy Mother's Day, you guys. I am actually a mom of 5 myself, and I have 6 siblings, so I'm one of 7 kids. I know, before we go any further, I know that Mother's Day can be a difficult day for some. I know that some have lost moms, even of recent. I actually was at a memorial service just 2 days ago. I know that this can be a challenging day, or whether you have a difficult relationship with your mom, whether you've chosen not to be a mom, or you're just waiting to be a mom yourself. So I want to acknowledge that and just take some time here today. But I also feel like God has a word for every single one of us in this room today. And we can all relate to what it feels like to be busy. We can all relate to the busyness, the hustle, the overwhelming feeling sometimes that we get in life. I don't know about you guys, but I spent this last year kind of reflecting on how crazy it was during the shutdown, and then I find myself right back into the grind. And there's this new term that mental health professionals have coined, and it's called hurry sickness. I'm going to read you guys the definition. It says, hurry sickness is chronic rushing, anxiousness, an overwhelming and persistent sense of urgency, even when there's no need to be moving fast. Man, it's tough. I don't know about you, but I can so relate to that. So I just want to stop before we go any further and just pray. So Lord, we welcome your presence this morning. I pray that we be aware of your presence in this place, whether we're online or in this room, God. I pray for those that need comfort, even right now in this moment. Would you bring your comfort to them? God. And I pray, Lord, that you would give our hearts openness to receive what you have for us today. I pray that you would speak through me, God, and we give you this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin today by asking you a question. Is your pace sustainable? We're going to look today at a story of a woman in the Bible who, like many of us, was struggling to see her dreams fulfilled in the timing and in the way in which she thought was best. So we're going to be talking about Sarai and Abram. They're in Genesis in the Old Testament. I know some people think that the Old Testament can be boring, but it is jam-packed with drama, and you'll see today what I'm talking about. See, they were promised something by God. God told them that they would be the mother and the father of nations. And he even compared their descendants to the dust of the earth or the stars in the sky, meaning that there would be so many that they couldn't even count them. But there was just one problem with this promise. Sarai couldn't have any children. She couldn't conceive. So she takes matters into her own hands. So we're going to pick this story up in Genesis 16, verses 1 through 5. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had bore him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children, so go and sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai had said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me." The first point that I want to make today is God's timing versus our grinding. If you're following along in the message notes, they're in your app. You can get your app out. You can see the scriptures in there, and you can follow along in the blanks, or they'll be up on the screen behind me. So Hagar was Sarah's attempt to rush God's plan into existence before the proper time. She's trying to make something happen in her own ability, in her own strength. We never do anything like that, right? Now, before you go judging her and thinking how crazy, it was actually normal in their culture to want to continue the family line through someone in your own household. So that's what she was trying to do, but she wasn't listening to the promise that God had made. So when we try to rush time, you know, when we're a kid, we cannot wait to be a grown-up. But then we become a grown-up and we're like, I wish I could go back to being a kid, right? We want to drive the car before we have the license. We go on one date and we start thinking they're the one. We want to have a baby before we have a ring on our finger. We want to start a profitable business when we don't even have a startup plan, when we haven't even asked for help or anybody to speak into what's going on in our life. Sometimes we want to be an author and write a book, but we don't want to put in the hard work of writing the term paper or the first article or the first chapter. God's been speaking to me about this a lot lately. And I felt like God showed me this picture of a plant, of the life cycle of a plant. You see, when you plant a seed under the ground, a lot happens beneath the surface before the plant sprouts. There's this period where the roots have to set in and go down deep. And there's this time, even in some plant life cycles, where they're dormant, where there's a season of rest that has to take place in order for the plant to grow. But above the surface, it just looks like dirt. Some of us can feel that way about our dreams, about life. We feel like nothing is happening and we question, what is God doing? But maybe God wants to develop deep roots within your life that you can't even see the fruit from yet. I have to be honest, for many years, I hated Mother's Day, because I had desired so badly to be a mom, and much like Sarah, I couldn't conceive. So I spent many years of infertility, and I remember we had this opportunity to adopt kids from overseas, and it was like a stranger that called me in like this crazy situation, and it was going to cost $100,000, and we had to give them a notice or give them a response in like 24 hours, and it was, the whole thing was crazy. And I remember telling my husband, this has got to be God. Like, this happened, this worked out. And my husband said, no, it's not. And I think for the first time, I think we'd been married for like 7 years at that point, and I was like, all right, you're going to have to sleep on the couch tonight because I can't even look at you. I was so upset, because I desired having a child so badly. But it wasn't what God's plan was for my life. And I remember we were still kind of arguing, and we had small group at our house the next day. And we're real with our group and the people that are close to us. And we told them what was going on. And we got some prayer. And I felt like the Lord had impressed on me that I had put having a baby at this place of number one in my life, even above God, that I was all consumed, that I was thinking about it, praying about it, talking about it, eat, breathe, sleeping, everything about having a baby, to the point where God was way down here. And I had to come to terms with that and to allow God to do something with what I was feeling, allow God to surrender that to him, to give him that dream of having a child and to trust him with the outcome, because sometimes trusting God looks like saying no to a good thing to believe that he has the best thing for us. A quote I've heard from Andy Stanley regarding parenting, although I feel it could apply to really any area or stage of life, is no for now, not forever. No to girls' night every Friday right now because I've got to focus on school. No to playing video games in all my free time because I need to date my wife. No, I can't binge watch The Office for the third time because I committed to show up for my small group. If you're a mom to young kids right now, you have to say no to using the bathroom in privacy, right? If you've been there, I want you to put been there in the chat. And if you have young kids, I want you to put still there. I'm right there with you, ladies. Still there. It can be difficult. I believe that God has given us each a pace to live by. That's point number two. God has given us each a pace to live by. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." He has given us a pace of how to walk out this life. You see, Abram and Sarah, they were nomads. So they were tent dwellers. They went from place to place, setting up camp and looking for land and food for their livestock. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been camping, but it's exhausting. Have you ever set up a tent? Like, I don't know about you, if there's any professional tent experts in the room, but I assure I'm not one of them. Like, it's exhausting. It takes a lot of time. I can't imagine setting up the tent, being there a little bit, then picking up all the stuff, carrying it on my back, and then doing it again. That was a slow pace of life. In our society, we hate to live with limitations. We talk about pushing past the limits. We don't want anything to stand in our way. We don't want there to be any barriers. We hate things going slow. We're always striving to achieve more, do more, be more. You know what's funny is that hard work usually gets rewarded with what? More hard work, right? Like, man, like, she's really good at her job. Let's give her more to do. He's high capacity leader. And we take these things as compliments. Like, yes, I'm a hustler. I'm a go-getter. We celebrate these things in our society. But what if we started valuing people for who they are instead of what they could accomplish, what they could achieve, what they could do? What if we spoke value into people for who they are more than what they could do for us, what they could accomplish? Corrie Ten Boom says that if the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. Busyness can feel a lot like barrenness or emptiness because we can often have a full schedule, but an empty life. We're always trying to get to tomorrow instead of honoring the slow process of becoming who we're called to be. Anybody like to go to theme parks in the room or online? Or malls, maybe malls. There's a lot of malls in Miami. When you go somewhere, like an outing with a group of people, there's always those people that they kind of lag behind, and then there's the middle-paced people, but then there's that one person, they're like, we got to get to the next ride. Like, did somebody check? Did we have a fast pass? Like, we better go. Like, let's, oh my gosh, do you, like, they're like dodging traffic in the walkways of the mall. Now we got the arrow, so like, well, maybe we should get on the opposite side because we can get there faster. Like, they're always in a rush. They're always on the go. If you're laughing, you either know someone like that or you are that person. You're that person. The problem with moving too fast, there's nothing wrong with working hard, but when we move so quickly that we are sprinting towards that finish line of our goals or to achieve something, we get to the finish line oftentimes and we look back and we realize that there's no one standing there with us. Because we have to cheat something to move quickly. Whether it's your spouse, your children, meaningful relationships, or sometimes even God. We can leave God behind because we're moving so quickly towards our dreams that we left him out of the equation. And I'm not here to judge anybody. I told y'all I am in the same boat with you. I felt like this crazy season that we found ourselves in, that I went right back to the busyness, to the fast pace. And I tend to go fast myself, but something, I know we talk about a lot about this physical pace, but I also think there's something to mental busyness, to the mental pace that we find ourselves in. That hurry sickness, I can find myself right there. But I think that there's some people here today or maybe listening online that through COVID, that you've isolated yourself, that you found yourself struggling to leave your house or maybe even your bedroom. And maybe this step is this step of a baby step towards Jesus. And if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity later today to make a step towards him. But maybe that step is to pick up the phone and to call a friend and to ask for help. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety or depression. Maybe that step is stop putting off calling the counselor. There's no shame in that. I've got a counselor, I've got a spiritual director, I've got all these people in my life to help me be a healthy person and to remind me to slow down, to remind me to hear the voice of God, to pray for me, to encourage me. Maybe that step is finally signing up for a small group because you've tried to do life alone and it just isn't working anymore. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I think those are words that we can live by today. Let's talk about Jesus and his pace for a little bit. You see, Jesus accomplished everything he was purposed on the earth to do in just 3 years. And what I mean by that is that he didn't begin his public ministry on the earth until he was 33 years old. And then he accomplished everything that he was called to do in a 3-year period, including dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And he was never in a rush. That's 90% of his life in development versus 10% in production, in producing, in giving off. And he was Jesus. It never says that Jesus got on his jet plane to go to Galilee. It never says that he challenged the disciples to a foot race to see who could get there fastest to go pray for somebody. It never says that. No, it says that Jesus walked. And then he rode on a donkey, not even a horse, y'all. Have you ever seen a donkey? They don't move very fast. They are slow-paced animals. And he still fulfilled his whole purpose in this life, in his calling. And he honored God along the way. One thing I love about the example of Jesus is that he was able to go and grow at the same time. What I mean by that is that he was able to do everything he was called to do along the way. He preached, he taught, he healed, he gave hope. As a parent, sometimes it can feel like we're spinning so many plates, that we have so much going on, and it can be difficult, but let's learn from the pace of Jesus, because how I disciple my kids is how I live my life. Not perfectly, but day in and day out, I get to be the greatest example of what it looks like to follow Jesus, because they see me on good days and in bad. They see me when I'm in mourning and when I'm rejoicing. They see me when I'm frustrated and angry and when I'm sad and lonely. They see me at church and they see me doing the laundry. They see me in line at Pollo Tropical and they see me in line to pick up them at school. They see me when someone flips me off in traffic. They see me when I'm driving at a stoplight and someone comes up to my car and asks me for money. They're always watching to see how I will respond. But I have these precious moments, these opportunities with them to teach them along the way. One of the things that we do as a family is we have certain landmarks on the way to school. And when we get to this traffic light, we pray. We go and grow together at the same time. I'm not saying to do it perfectly, but they need to see all of it. They need to see mom and dad praying together. They need to see us reading our Bible. They need to see us going to church. They are looking to you to be the example for their lives. They need us. They want to grow and go together. But if we're going so fast, we'll miss it. If we're going so fast, if we're not looking for those opportunities, they will pass us by. They will go so quickly. Is your current pace sustainable, or are you moving so fast that you're missing out on what God's doing, on what God wants to show you in your life? But here's the good news for all of us. Point three is that nothing can stop the promises of God. Nothing. Nothing can stop the promises of God. Let's go back to the story of Sarai and Abram. Chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. It says, God also said to Abraham, for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be mother of nations and kings of peoples will come from her. See, God changes names in the Bible to signify calling and purpose in someone's life, to symbolize a new promise that he's made. And this line, kings of peoples, he's talking about the bloodline of Jesus would come through their descendants, from their family line. But the best part about all of this is that God accounted for her mess ups. Sarah tried to push the plans of God forward before the proper time, and it left a disaster. But she wasn't disqualified from God blessing her life because of it. That is good news. That's encouraging for us. You are not disqualified because of your past mistakes. You're not disqualified. If you're encouraged by that, I want you to look at the person next to you and say, I'm encouraged. I can't hear you, what? If you're online, I want you to put that in the chat right now. I'm encouraged. You guys, that means that even if we feel like we've blown it, even if we've looked back and we can see a trail behind us of all the things that we've done wrong, it doesn't stop the promises of God. It doesn't. God's promise wasn't canceled because of what she did. We have to trust the pace that God has called us to live at. And my pace doesn't look like your pace, and your pace doesn't look like my pace. And we can't get out there on social media comparing ourselves to the pace of everybody around us, because God has a unique pace that he's called you to live by. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I've inherited a legacy of faith from my parents, to which I'm so grateful for. But one of the things I admire most about my mom is that she has a confidence in God like no other. It didn't matter whether there was a stressful time going on or struggle or anything. She would say things like, well, I'm just going to have to talk to God about it. Well, I'm just going to take this up with God. I'm just going to have to go to God, and he's going to have to work it out. He's going to take care of it. And I remember her saying this over and over again in her life, to the point that my mom doesn't use an alarm clock. And I would be like, Mom, how do you wake up in the morning? And she'd be like, God's going to wake me up. But the funny thing about that is that she doesn't have to wake up at the same time every day for work. So God really does wake her up. I don't know how she does it. But she had this confidence in God that the good work that he started in her life, that he would bring it to completion. And I believe that's true for all of us. The good work that God started in your life, he's going to bring to completion. Let's finish up this story in Genesis 21:1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. God was faithful to keep his promise to Abraham and Sarah. And the crazy part about this story is that when their son was born, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. He fulfilled the promise even when it seemed impossible. He fulfilled the promise even when no one else believed that it could come true. He fulfilled the promise in their life because you can trust what he says. We sing this song at our church called Man of Your Word. And the lyrics say, if you said it, we believe it because you're a man of your word. I believe that God is a man of his word. Sometimes we have to go back and look at what did God say? Not what did somebody else say, what did God say? Because most of us can point back to a moment, and even in our early childhood years, where someone said something discouraging to us, where someone said something that caused us shame in our life, that caused us to doubt what God said. That even as an adult, even years and years and years later, you can hear that voice in your head, or you can believe a lie, but we have to go back to what did God say? What did God say? So I told you guys, I have a tendency to move fast myself. Just the other day, I was walking into Pastor Kevin's office and I knocked on the door and he's like, come in, Sarah. And I'm like, how did you know it was me? And he said, I can tell because you walk so fast. To be honest, sometimes if I'm on this side of the church and I have to go upstairs or something, I don't know why, but if I come through this room, I just run to the other side of the church. Like, I just constantly am moving fast. But more than I would like to admit, God has had to slow me down. A few years back, I had my dream job and I had 4 adopted children and I actually became pregnant with a biological child. And I was so excited. Thank you. God had kept that promise to me and fulfilled it in my life. And when he was born, unexpectedly, he had some health issues that came up and we ended up right back in the hospital. And we didn't know how long we were going to be in the hospital. We didn't know how long he was going to need this extra care with health care. He had breathing monitors and heart rate monitors and machines hooked up to him. And it was several months of time that this was taking place. And it was a very difficult season. And I spiraled really fast into postpartum depression. And it was a difficult time. And I was still trying to do this dream job and do all these things and take care of my other kids. And God just told me to stop. He told me that I wasn't supposed to do anything for an entire year but to rest and to take care of my children. And I was like, all right, Lord, I surrender. I give this to you. It wasn't easy. It was painful. I didn't know how to rest, if I'm being honest. So even in those times, I would go to like a mom's group and I'd be like, oh, I can host it at my house. And I'd clean my house. I'd do all the things. And then I'd have it. And like by the last minute, everyone would cancel. It only took me like about 3 times of doing that before remembering that God told me I wasn't supposed to do anything. I was just supposed to rest. And I knew that year was approaching, that year mark being over. And I knew I was going to have to get a job because we couldn't any longer survive as a family of 7 with 1 income. And as I prayed about what was going to happen in the future, I started praying specific prayers, asking God for specific things. I prayed for a job. I prayed for a dollar amount. I prayed for a place that I could bring my child to work with me. And I knew these were not easy requests of God, but I believe that if he called me to rest, that he was going to take care of all the details. And I learned in that season to slow down and to appreciate what God had given me. To embrace every moment with my son and with my kids and to just be mom. And I cherish that time because it's time that I can't get back. It wasn't in my plans. It wasn't what I had thought was going to happen, but it was what I needed. I needed to find rest. I needed to know that God could take care of me, that God would provide for my life. What I'm saying today is that maybe we don't need to hustle for the promises of God to come to pass in our life. Maybe we need to rest in his promise. What if I told you that God could do more in your resting than in your striving? I believe he can do it. God's desire is for us to know him deeply, to depend on him, to trust him, to believe that he could do for you what seems impossible. What others said couldn't happen, he wants to do for your life. And he's more concerned with who I would become than my title, than a paycheck, than a following, whatever it is you find yourself striving in today. He wants us to find rest from the busyness of life so that we can find fulfillment through him. Let's pray together. You just wait on you, God. God, I thank you that you have called us to live by a healthy pace. I pray, God, for those that are struggling today to see their dreams be fulfilled. I pray that you would give them the strength and the courage that they need to wait on you. And I pray, God, for those that feel isolated. For those that maybe they don't feel isolated, but they feel far away from you. Lord, I thank you that no matter how many steps away we are, you're just one step forward. And I pray for those that need to take that step towards Jesus this morning. And if that's you, would you just pray this prayer with me? God, I accept you for who you are. I believe that you're real. I've tried to do life my own way, but I want to put it in your hands. I'm sorry for the mistakes I've made, but I want to put all my trust in you today. In Jesus' name. And I pray for those that are struggling to get pregnant right now. I pray, God, that you would bless them, that you would give them hope and encouragement, Lord, that they wouldn't feel alone, God. I pray for those that are afraid to reach out for help. Would you give them the courage to do so? Would you allow this church to be a safe place for them to get help? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you.